You're listening to the Jason Gregor Show podcast, brought to you by Lakewood Chev. All Silverados and Truck Nation overlay, 10 to 15 specials with cash rebates or payments. All trucks are showing max factory rebates. Learn more at LakewoodChev.com. Let's get to our big guest of the day, brought to you by Alberta Mortgage Funding. If you have equity in your home or other property, AMF can arrange financing for any purpose without checking credit, income, or employment. Apply online at albertafunding.com. Kevin Woodley from InGoal Magazine, NHL.com, joins us. Busy weekend, kind of the goaltending carousel. Lots of goalies moving around to different teams, Kevin. You know, you got Eddie Lack, you got Ranta. Of course, we had Mike Smith earlier. You go Brian Elliott's in Philadelphia now, and Steve Mason's in Winnipeg, and you go around and around. So of those guys who now have a new home, which goalie do you think has the best chance for success based on the team and system that they play?
Ooh, it really was a game of musical chairs this week, guys, and literally for the five teams you're talking about. My favorite move wasn't among those five. That would be Ryan Miller to Anaheim for reasons we can get into in a minute. But in terms of fit, I would not be surprised in the least if Brian Elliott has the most success out of the gate in Philadelphia.
So, why is that?
Yeah, why? That is a good question.
You know what? I think for a lot of things that we talked about this past year in Calgary, Jason, in terms of the struggles he had early in the year, when you talk to him now about why that occurred, they were a lot of the things that we saw from the outside. Slow to adjust to different reads in a different system, not trusting those reads, getting caught on his goal line, getting caught flat and deep in the net, not being that sort of position-to-position, edge-of-the-crease guy that we saw in St. Louis, because in St. Louis, and because he'd been there so long, he was able to trust those reads, and I loved the way he moved and reacted to them. And when he lost that trust, he became very passive. He played very deep. He's not very big. He plays sort of a lower stance. He got exposed early on. And I thought as the year went on in Calgary, I thought he was pretty good. I mean, obviously, I think a lot of people in Calgary would tell you he was the reason they got to the playoffs in the first place, the run he went on. And then obviously in the playoffs, there were some things that got exposed. Again, interestingly enough, I thought he got a little flat. I didn't think he tracked well when he was deep on his goal line at all. And had some goals that he was exposed on. So, maybe some of those are issues that, you know, I don't know if they get fixed. But I do think he learned the lesson in terms of how big an adjustment it is to go from team to team. And when you listen to him talk after signing with the Flyers, you know, he really stressed the importance of understanding and building that communication both with his defensemen and with the coaches in terms of what to expect from the system and what to expect from his defenseman. I also think he goes to a place in Calgary, his lack of puck handling hurt. I don't think it fit the system. In Philadelphia, he's kind of replacing a guy in Steve Mason who handled a little bit, can handle the puck, but didn't handle it as aggressively as a lot of guys do in the league. And so not getting out of his net, something he improved during the year in Calgary, I don't think it'll hurt him as badly early on in Philadelphia. So, yeah, I mean, Mason in Winnipeg I like for different reasons, but out of all those moves, give me Elliott in Philadelphia and maybe Ranta in Arizona closely behind him. And it, like I said, it really was fascinating. Hey, Smith comes to Calgary, so now Arizona needs somebody. They get Ranta. New York needs somebody. They end up with Pavelec. Philly loses Mason, or lets Mason walk, he goes to Winnipeg, and from Calgary, they essentially, Elliott going to Philly, they all replaced each other. It was a five-team game of musical chairs for goaltenders on both at the expansion draft with the trades and then after the NHL draft in free agency. It was, I mean, really fascinating to basically watch five guys swap chairs.
You know, you touch on Winnipeg, and, you know, there's a lot of people that felt that Winnipeg has been somewhat hamstrung by their goaltending the last, a couple seasons. Did they do enough to address that with Mason, or are they looking to a younger guy to come in and take that bigger step forward?
Well, I think they made – I like them. I like that move too. I think they overpaid a little bit in terms of money. When you see the going price for guys, you know, we see Elliott get 2.75. For Mason to get 4.1 was the biggest payday of the day from a goaltending standpoint, at least in terms of free agents. But they get a guy who can help bridge the gap to Connor Hellebuck. So I like Mason's fit there from that standpoint. I think they needed a veteran presence there so that Connor Hellebuck could continue to develop. And that doesn't always mean playing. That means having the time between your starts to work on your game. And we talked about this last year, Jason. It was a tough season for practice time. It was a tough season for goaltenders to find that one-on-one time with their goalie coach. And for Hellebuck to be in that situation where he didn't have that time, he's learning on the fly in the NHL, under the pressure playing all those games and being the number one guy, that was far from ideal. Now, the thing I'll say about the move in Winnipeg is, in my opinion, it's a year late. They needed this presence, and I guess they hoped to have it from Pavlik last year, and they didn't get it. They needed this last year. Now you've brought Mason in, and you overpay money in order to keep the term down to 2 years, but I think that Hellebuck, if he had been in this role last year, would probably be ready for more now. And what you've done by bringing Mason is you've basically put a ceiling on Eric Comrie, who, in my opinion, in talking to him after the World Championships, probably feels like he's ready to be that 25-game guy backup in the NHL. There's not much more left to prove in the AHL, and you've kind of capped him and kept him now, barring injury, in the American Hockey League for 2 more years, when I'd argue he's ready right now. I look at the perfect development curve as what the Canucks did with Schneider, and obviously they had a luxury with Luongo, but that 25 games his first year, and then a few more, but tougher, more meaningful, tougher buildings, tougher matchups, not protected in his second season, and then go from there. I think that as much as I like this move now for the Jets, I think it's one they needed to find a way to make, even with Pavlik under contract, last season so that they could be a year ahead of where they're going to be now.
Kevin Woodley from InGoal Magazine and NHL.com joins us now. Kevin, you talked about Ryan Miller, and I know you said at the deadline last year, man, Anaheim might have regretted not going out and getting him. Obviously, now they got him from a family perspective, it'll be fine. And John Gibson is somebody who maybe a tad injury-prone, but how do you think Ryan Miller is going to accept being the obvious backup?
Well, listen, I saw this move coming because I knew that at the deadline, when there was talk of Miller moving, that his people had let it be known in Los Angeles that he was willing to come to L.A. and be Jonathan Quick's backup. So the concept of him at this stage of his career shifting into that backup role and fitting it in with being at home more, the idea it had to be in California. Obviously, we know his wife, Noreen DeWolf, works there as an actress. Young son, Bodie. They spent a large part of the year last season in Los Angeles, and that's not easy. But he was open to the move from a career standpoint, as well as the move geographically, as far back as the deadline. I think he's going to embrace it because I think he's got a situation where he recognizes, in addition to mentorship, he's got an opportunity to play more, whether it's outplaying Gibson on a team that fancies itself a cup contender, or the fact that Gibson hasn't been able to stay healthy. And you're right, I did say at the deadline, and I said it when they got into the playoffs, and I would argue it came true. The Anaheim Ducks, and this is why I like this move the most out of all of them, they might have been in the Stanley Cup final if they'd gotten Ryan Miller at the trade deadline. But what I like about the move now, even though it's maybe a little too late, isn't just what it does for where what it means about where Ryan Miller is at. I think this is a move that could help John Gibson, who for whatever reason has been somewhat resistant to helping himself. I'm telling you right now, the injuries will continue if he doesn't change some of his movement patterns, some of his habits in terms of save execution and post-save recovery, and for what I've been told, maybe some of his stuff off ice, some of his work off ice. And Ryan Miller understands the first two in terms of the key biomechanic elements that will allow Gibson to sort of move without putting as much strain on his body. And I've yet to meet a goalie who understands his body better than Ryan Miller. He was ahead of the curve as far back in college in terms of foam rolling, myofascial release, the importance of it specific to goaltending, working on the hips, bringing yoga into his everyday sort of movements and training patterns. He's been ahead of all those curves throughout his career and has continued to evolve it in the NHL. And that combined with, you know, some of the specific movements on the ice are things that need to change for John Gibson. If the stuff on the ice doesn't change, he's always going to be injury prone. And he's been resistant to that change. I think seeing Ryan Miller, and maybe if he's willing to listen to that voice, Ryan Miller's not going to put his arm around him and say, here you go, buddy, I'm going to show you the way. But if Gibson's there, he's willing to lend that hand. And I think it could be a big step for Gibson, a guy that the Ducks have tied themselves to big time with the moves they've made in the past couple of years.
What do you think of the new duo, well, half-new duo in Colorado with Bernier and Varlamov?
You know what? I'm really interested to see how Semyon Varlamov looks this year. What I like for Bernier is, listen, he's not going to have the year he had for Anaheim because he's not going to be as insulated. The reality, and this applies to Gibson too, is that defense insulated its goaltenders as well as anyone in the NHL when it comes to lateral plays and cross-ice passes and the types of plays that we see expose goalies the most in the NHL. And I got that from a guy who works for a private consulting firm that does that. Another consulting firm says it was about the third highest. The guy I talked to said it was the highest. Either way, Bernier's not going to have that anymore in Colorado. There's going to be more tough chances. But he's been through it before. I mean, you look at 13-14 in Toronto, posted a 923 behind a team that defensively was not very good. So he's been able to kind of do both things. He's shown he can be a 40-game guy if Varlamov breaks down. But I don't know that it's a slam dunk that Varlamov continues to break down. He got the hip fixed. A lot of the groin injuries that plagued him, and I've said this before with other goaltenders, and sure enough, it ends up being the hip. But quite often, when you see recurring groin problems, there's a structural problem in the hip that leads to it, and it's sort of that compensation that causes the groin to pop as often as it was on Varley. Now, he's got the hip fixed. He's had the surgery. For a lot of guys, it's like having a lube job on your hips. Everything works better than it used to, in fact. You get rid of some of those spots where you'd have that impingement. It's all smoothed out. They shave the bone down. They clean the socket up. So if he's got that freedom, and now you're bringing in his goalie coach, and it, they haven't announced it, but that's been my understanding, that UC Parkkila, the Finnish goalie who goalie coach that he worked with in the KHL in Moscow, is on his way over to the NHL, and the only place that there's an opening right now is Colorado, so I'm assuming it's there. Varlamov's the guy that I'm really fascinated to see how things go for this season. I think he, despite that defense, could be due for another breakout like he had the year he was Vezina finalist and arguably should have won it ahead of Tuukka Rask.
Kev, great stuff as always, man. Lots of goaltending stuff to discuss. I do want to talk about Ben Bishop next week when we have you on before you go on holidays for a few weeks. So we'll talk a little Bishop and Dallas next week.
Yeah, we can mix in some Lack and Smith and Calgary. And there were so many guys changing spots. We've got plenty to talk about in part two.
Thanks, Kev. Appreciate it.
Take care, guys.